month. He said, Disney could not have reached out to people who were more connected with my own heart and my own history than those writers.
Wow.
It certainly makes passing the torch a lot easier when you know the people you're passing the torch to are kind of your own offspring, so to speak, creatively.
That's so like, sweet.
I read that and openly wept. I was just like, oh. Like, he's not passing the torch, but at least he knows that when he's ready to be done, then there will be people.
Welcome back to the Broadway Ginger Podcast. I am your host, Sally Fuller, aka the Broadway Ginger, and I'm here to talk about what's on my heart most of the time, musical theater, and sometimes jazz hands, or in today's case, just a lot of newspaper dancing. So last week, we left off with a bit of a cliffhanger as Ashley Elliott and I were discussing Alan Menken, the incredible Disney and Broadway composer who composed the music of our childhood. And specifically, we were talking about his musical Newsies. So we walked through how this movie musical that flopped in the 90s took the theater by storm 20 years later. And I have to mention here that I grew up watching Newsies, the movie, on VHS. And I listened to the cassette tape and with all my siblings. So this one is really close to my heart. And it took me a little while to warm up to the Broadway version, which honestly is still not my favorite, but I do love certain aspects of it. So one of my favorite tidbits that I have to share about my family's love for Newsies was that my niece and nephews used to listen to the movie soundtrack, obviously, because we're raising them right. But they used to call it Jack and the Heroes instead of Newsies, which I thought was, first of all, adorable. But also, I was like, you know what? That title really conveys the excitement and adventure of the musical so well. So Jack and the Heroes it is. And of course, I didn't correct them because I wanted them to keep saying that for as long as possible. So let's jump back in as Ashley and I continue to dive into the Broadway version of Newsies and wrap up our Alan Menken series.
I think it's funny that, first of all, fun fact, the Broadway production cost about $5 million to stage, and it recouped its initial investment in 7 months, which is the fastest of any Disney musical on Broadway to turn a profit.
Wow.
It's the fastest because it just did so well.
Yeah.
Mostly because of Jeremy, because he's so incredible. But he left because of Smash, which I think is funny.
Oh my gosh.
And he did great on Smash, and then it lasted for a season, and he was like, hey guys, I'm back.
Just kidding.
Exactly.
Yeah. Actually, it was 2 seasons. He only lasted a season.
He was in the last song of the first season. They see him at the piano, and then that's it.
That.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that I believe that.
And then Corey Cott replaced him, which...
Corey Cott!
And then who was in the tour? Dan DeLuca, who we all love and adore. And that is when the fans came up with this thing about only people with alliterative names can play Jack Kelly. So Jeremy Jordan, Corey Cott, Dan DeLuca.
Whoa!
So then when Dan...
Whoa.
I know. When Dan left the tour and Joey Barrero filled in, people called him Joey Jabarrero. Which I was obsessed with.
Oh,
that was like
so
my thing. Oh my gosh. Listen, I still follow all of the Torsies, which is what they were called.
Oh my gosh. Wait, is still, that the tour cast members?
The Torsies? Cast that was on the tour.
Stop it.
I still quote their vlog videos.
Yes.
When I saw it, at the Fox, they at the very end of the first act, and they like had they crumpled up the newspapers and threw them into the audience. They hit this net that was over the orchestra pit. So then so then after the first act ended, I immediately darted towards the front, and there was someone up there who like could tell I was a massive nerd.
Yes.
So she grabbed some newspaper and I took it, and it ended up being the front page of the newspaper. So I like ironed it out as I was sitting there in intermission. And then when we did the state, when we staged door,
did they sign it?
They signed above the fold. And they signed the whole thing, and they all quoted that to me. They were like, "We're above the fold." I was like, "You're above the fold." So I have all of their signatures, including Ben Tyler Cook, who later went on to do so many incredible things, including Mean Girls, and then West Side Story and the movie West Side Story. Wow. And I have pictures with some of them. But I just, that was the first, I framed that, the newspaper. And that was the very first thing that I hung up on the wall at my apartment. And it's still up there.
Oh, that's awesome. That is a treasure.
I know.
To get a prop and then have the cast sign it. Get out of here.
I know. Only at Newsies. Yeah. My sister Mary Grace bought one of those newsboy caps. Or she had it from somewhere else and she got all of them to sign that. So that's also really very cool. Specific.
Oh, I love that.
And it's so funny because, like, I was born in that world. Like, that's where I feel like my love for musicals really got, like, that was when it had a growth spurt, because it just, like, I was obsessed with it, and it just led to so many different things. And it's so funny to, like, trace all of those actors' careers. And it's funny because I know for a fact that I watched the musical going, wow, lots of little boys dancing. I love this so much. Could not tell you who each of these people are. And now I can pick them out of a crowd. Like, I can tell you from the back of someone's head who they are.
Well, and I think a lot of that is because, and this is one of the things that marked Newsies as a cool moment in history, in Broadway history, is that the cast was all young people.
Exactly.
And they were all on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were very active on social media. And they were one of the first Broadway shows to be that active as a whole unit.
Yeah.
And
that's probably why it did so well.
Yeah.
Because that's free marketing. That's free publicity for the show.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And it was kind of weird. We went through this really long phase with Broadway rules, I guess, for posting on social media of like being like, well, you know, you can't take a picture of this because this is copyrighted. To then marketing people for shows slowly started realizing, oh, wait, if we have backstage videos and pictures, like, people will want to come to our show. Yeah. And so like, you see backstage pictures with costumes all the time, it really didn't used to happen.
Yeah.
Like, I had a friend go on for a role for like a few months and had to succeed in business without really trying. She was in the ensemble, and then she got to be one of the leads for a few months.
Cool.
Yeah. But like, the only picture I saw of her was like, she was in her wig and like a white tank top that she clearly wears under her costume. That was it. Like, that was the only picture I saw of her in that costume.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So Newsies was really cool because they were all over social media. So I think we trounced around fun facts and stuff. The fans loved it. And as far as reviews, even from the beginning, actually, it sounded like critics were surprised that they really liked it. From the New York Times, so of the Paper Mill production, David Rooney of the New York Times said, "Even for the cynics among us, Newsies has a stirring, old school sincerity that's hard to resist." I thought that was really sweet. And then Frank Scheck of the New York Post said of the Paper Mill production, "It's a very, very much a standard issue Disney musical in its sentimentality, predictable plotting and formulaic characters. The villainous Pulitzer practically twirls his mustache.
Oh my God.
The show is redeemed by its song and dance. As the lead newsboy, played in the film by young Christian Bale, Jordan proves himself a star in the making. He bursts with charisma, and his impassioned acting and soaring vocals give the show heart and soul." Now, I will say I agree with Mr. Scheck on Pulitzer being a little over the top.
He has to be.
I would love a more dimensional Pulitzer. Okay.
All right.
Or like a, I don't know, so like he's not a very straightforward businessman. He's like a, I love cheating people out of money because it's fun, rather than like I love getting money for myself. You know, I think those tell two different stories.
Teach them a lesson.
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of, I don't know. And I really don't like that song. So, okay, to be honest,
I don't like any
I'll get
songs.
Into this later. And then of the Broadway version, so I did not agree with the Entertainment Weekly critic, Tom Geyer, who especially loved my least favorite song, Watch What Happens. That's Catherine's song. And I call that Alan Menken's Sondheim phase because the song is very jumpy.
Oh, it's patter.
Yeah, exactly. And I really don't care for it. I think it's really silly. I think the idea is good along with a typewriter. Like that's a cool concept. But I just don't think he does it very well. And I think the notes kind of go everywhere. It's just, I don't like it.
It has to be done very specifically, or else the song itself can get lost in itself.
Yeah, I'll believe that. I guess I've seen two different versions of it, but didn't really like it. I mean, like, yeah. So, from the, so Linda Weiner of the Associated Press said, with a show directed with rousing two-dimensional enthusiasm by Jeff Calhoun, lacks in originality, is disguised, if not quite hidden, by a big, talented cast of actors and several actresses.
Oh, my God.
But it just sounded like a lot of what the critics said was like, you know, there are a lot of things about this that are stereotypical and cliche and predictable Disney. But yeah, and I think it was
really... it's just good, man.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the dancing particularly, like, was what threw it over.
Absolutely.
And people were like, wow, this is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Except, of course, Jeremy Jordan, who did not dance.
I have a review that basically talks about the dancing and then also about Jeremy holding his own without... even without pirouettes.
Oh my gosh, yes!
But this guy, I think this is Ben Brownlee, which we love to hate. He said all of the urchins, excuse me, even though they look too old, it doesn't stop them from burning energy like toddlers on a sugar high at a birthday party. This entire review just roasts. Yeah, it completely roasts the show, but it's so funny. I was cackling reading this review. It was so funny. He said there's not to mention enough pirouettes to fill a whole season of Swan Lake.
You were just playing at that point.
Though there is little originality in these dance numbers, they have enough raw vitality to command the attention and even stir the blood. Or they would if they knew when to quit. But just when you think a number is over, it starts up again. And no sooner are you recovering from that one than there's another one with all the same darn backflips, pirouettes, etc. I commend the cast members for always appearing to be excited by what they're doing. And then he also talks about Watch What Happens and brings it all back to Mr. Feldman's lyrics are spot on, while the melody reminds us just how charming a composer Mr. Menken, who did Beauty and the Beast and Little Mermaid for Disney, can be. It also provides a sorely needed oasis of relief from all that extra enthusiasm. Like, bruh, just enjoy the show.
I know what Ben Brantley looks like, and I'm just picturing him, like, crouching, like, lower and lower in his, or slouching lower and lower in his seat. And
sir,
just being, like, stop the
enjoy
dancing.
Enjoy it. This little boy's dancing.
There's
jumping around. The enthusiasm.
There's a critic in Atlanta who is he kind of like hates musicals. And he his reviews of them often are not very don't make a lot of sense. Like,
well, then why go?
But I mean, okay, that's a whole separate thing. However, he loved Newsies when it was done regionally here. He wrote a glowing review, and I texted my friend who was a publicist for the theater, and I was like, what? Why did he like this? She's like, I don't know, but we're going to put it in our publicity.
Exactly. Take it, run with it, go.
Yeah, I don't know why he loved it. He just was taken with it. It's like,
good.
I saw you tear Hunchback of Notre Dame to shreds. Like, why? But anyway, we took it and ran.
It's an incredible show.
Yeah. And so, interestingly, Tony Awards wise, they didn't win that many. They definitely didn't sweep. It was kind of an upsetting year, though, because Once won instead.
I know. I'm mad about it.
Which just made me so sad. So sad. And there wasn't that much else that year that was awesome. But I thought this was cool. If Bonnie and Clyde, Bonnie and Clyde obviously was the same season.
Yes.
If Bonnie and Clyde had been nominated for Best Musical, Jeremy Jordan would have pulled a Judy Kuhn and been in two musical performances at the Tonys.
He was still nominated for two different shows across the same season. The shows were nominated.
Yeah. So I was really hoping he would be nominated for Clyde. Like, wouldn't that have been cool if he had been nominated for both? But no, he was nominated for Jack Kelly, and Laura Osnes was nominated for Bonnie, though. That's which so I was funny. Like, oh, yes, ma'am. But the great thing is, Newsies won the awards it should have won. Won Best Choreography, Best Original Score.
Yep. And that's Alan Menken's tea.
Yes. Yeah. So that, and I remember when he won that and people were saying this is his first Tony, I literally dismissed that statistic as having, I was like, that must be wrong. That can't be right. It's like, wait.
There's no way.
No, it was true.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I was really excited to realize that. And it was like, but you know what? Like he put a lot of eggs in the Disney movie basket. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of respect for that. Kind of like with a couple episodes ago, we were talking about Hal Prince, who was this extremely successful director-producer. He had 21 Tony Awards.
Mm.
He didn't really have any other types of awards, but he had all the... He got Tonys and he got all of them. Mm-hmm. So, like... He is not interested in an EGOT. And I think there's something to be said for someone who just hones in on their space.
Yeah. And owns it. Yeah. I mean, Alan Menken in interviews has said that he, like, every single time I read one where he was talking, it was before he got his Tony. He was like, I don't care.
Yeah.
It's not about the awards for me. And I think that's a really good way to go about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because from my own personal life, how hard is it to like be striving towards something and then just not getting it, especially something as massive as a Tony?
Yeah.
So I feel like that's a better mindset to have where it's like, if it comes, it'll come, but I'm not going to reach for that. I'm just going to try to do the best I can with whatever I'm doing, which is what earned him the EGOT.
Yeah, exactly. You know what's interesting?
What?
One of my favorite fun facts about him is that he actually did get an honorary Emmy at the, like, beginning of his career, towards the beginning of his career. He and Howard Ashman co-wrote a song for a, like, cartoon Disney special.
Uh-huh.
It was an anti-drug special.
Yes!
The song was called The Wonderful Ways to Say No.
Yes! Oh, I need to memorize that.
But he got his real Emmy just last year. In fact, I mistakenly said in an episode a couple episodes ago, like, you go, Alan, like, I hope you'll get your Emmy someday. And then You're I, like, wrong. Looked it up and I was like, oh, he finally won. And, like, I don't know. I don't know if I just expect, like, the entire theater community to, like, direct message me and be like, it happened. Like, I kind of do.
Yeah.
I don't know why people weren't shouting out from the rooftops.
So, guys,
more.
The next time someone does something cool, message Sally.
Message me so I don't say
and
the wrong
too,
thing on
please.
My show.
I want to hear from people. I like talking about things with people.
So,
anyway.
So, yeah, Newsies is such a cool, special show to us, and it's one that I know we've wanted to talk about for a while.
Ugh. And from day one, from I was like, we have to do a whole episode about Newsies. Yes.
And you know what I will say on the subject of them winning Best Choreography? I'm so glad Christopher Gattelli won that. I'm so glad because it was so creative. And I will say, when I saw them dancing on those newspapers the first time, that blew my mind. And I was like, okay, I can live with this. And, you know, the adding legit tap dancing to King of New York, I thought was such a good idea. I love that so much.
I love that for them.
Okay, so Hot Cake. I think one of the huge reasons Newsies did so well.
Oh, no.
I mean, who doesn't want a stage full of singing and dancing young men?
Telly, it's not a hot cake if it's true.
Exactly. But I mean, I think given the demographic of Broadway people, there has never been a more visually appealing Broadway show.
I'm trying to think, and I can't think
because
of one.
Literally, it's just those men the whole time, and you don't get a break. And like, whereas you know, with like West Side Story or like South Pacific, it's like you know, you sometimes have the girls in their stories a little bit, but like, it's pretty much just those guys,
straight boys. You know, I'm gonna keep that comment in, but yes, I completely agree.
But it sells, man. It sells.
And it sells itself. If you have a bunch of newsies jumping around.
Literally.
What?
And I I think I would have fallen more in love with Jeremy Jordan, but I honestly, my real hot cake about this is that I, watching production shots, you know, highlights from rehearsals.
Yeah.
I just felt like he was really overacting it. But also, in those rehearsal halls, the camera, you know, right on his face, and it's
which
meant to be
seen. Which is different from theater acting. Excuse yeah. me.
So, like, watching it, I was like, oh, that man. So, like, to this day, my twin calls Jeremy Jordan schmackding.
Oh my gosh, she's schmacting wrong.
Schmacting is the term for overacting.
Gosh. Speaking of schmacting, I went to Schmackery's the last time I was in New York. Because I knew that they were iconic, but also because I knew that they housed Broadway people.
Yeah.
But specifically because of the Newsies cast being there that one time.
Like, okay, man.
1,000%. And they had really good cookies.
One thing I will say, I saw student production of Newsies. Okay. I loved getting to see Jack as a 17-year-old.
Right?
It was the sweet. I actually felt a lot more sympathy for him.
Well, there you go. Lot.
However, but what flipped it was that the girl who played Catherine looked like she was too young. She was also 16 or whatever. But I was like,
that's how they get you.
But I was like, okay, if Jack's supposed to be 17, Catherine has to be at least 23.
Like, why?
Because why else would she be a reporter, like, on her own?
Maybe she's, like, 18, and she got fast-tracked because her dad is literally Pulitzer, or not.
I mean, I guess she just, the character seems way too, like, worldly wise, and, like, doesn't, her lines don't seem like a teenager to me.
That's fair. Maybe that's why their love story doesn't work as well for you, especially between Jeremy Jordan and Kira Lindsay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Of the Community productions I've seen where the Jack is younger, it does work so much more. And seeing like an actual 10-year-old as Les is completely different. And that even more so, it's just like, stop running and jumping. I want to hug all of you. We're going home. Oh my gosh, why are you out on these streets?
Yes.
So, I understand that. I understand where you're coming from. I don't agree, but I understand.
That's okay. That's great.
What about you? You have any more personal Newsies hotcakes?
Let me look at my notes and see. I just will say, I love that Newsies gave Alan Menken his Tony.
Yeah.
And I also love, like,
especially after getting Razzies.
Right,
and
right.
And tanking so hard. It was like, you know what? Here, have some good.
Right, yeah. And I think it's really, it's so unfortunate when movies or musicals just come around at the wrong time. Mm-hmm. They don't do well in the box office. They don't do well, whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, culture just isn't ready for them, whatever the circumstance is. And I'm just really glad they waited a full 20 years to put Newsies back on the stage. And the fact that it was basically, demanded by fans that it be on Broadway. And I just love that Alan Menken got a second chance at one of his flops. Mm-hmm. And, like, how often do we get to do that? How often do any writers get to do that?
No.
And so I really love that for him. And I think it's interesting because I think the movie flopped, but also, like, simultaneously paved the way for the stage show. Because it came way too early. But then, like, High School Musical.
The world wasn't ready for it.
Yeah. And High School Musical made a smash. And it was like, oh, yeah, now Disney Channel original movies are musicals. Mm-hmm. And that's just how we do.
Uh-huh.
Or at least there's one big one every year. And I just think that's so cool. Honestly, I didn't like High School Musical, but I like the idea of trying to get people more into musicals. Yeah. And so I love that then circumstances happened that made Newsies able to come back and have a good life on the stage.
Absolutely.
So.
I think it's what you said about, what did you say about Alan Menken and Alan Menken? And
just that he got a second chance. Connection.
Okay, yeah. Because I have a note about that, but it has to do with Menken's legacy. If we
want Let's jump to that.
Okay. So to your point about Alan almost riffing off of himself. He did an EW interview called Alan Menken Knows How to Give You Alan Menken. And he says there's a lot of times where I'm asked to do something that's a wink to myself. And that's partly a wink at Menken, but it's also just a wink at something specific and my approach to doing that. So he has said that one of his favorite things to do is something original, but he also enjoys doing what he gets asked to do a lot, which is riffing off of himself or reviving something, and like all of his works just being like a constant just like overhauling everything. So with Newsies, he redid it for the movie, and then for the musical, and then he almost redid it again, or like added a song for the tour. And that's happened a lot where he'll add on to something that he already did. So, like, even Enchanted was, like, a riff off of all of his old stuff.
Yeah.
And it's come to the point now where he started to work with people who grew up on his stuff.
Wow.
So he talked about, like, his niece, going to college with Kristen Lopez. Al Menken says these people literally grew up on the songs that we, meaning him and Howard Ashman, wrote, and the things we did, and in a way they're my children, which, like, aww. I resonate with that because I have many children. He said Disney could not have reached out to people who were more connected with my own heart and my own history than those writers.
Wow.
It certainly makes passing the torch a lot easier when you know the people you're passing the torch to are kind of your own offspring, so to speak, creatively.
That's so like, sweet.
I read that and openly wept. I was just like, like, he's not passing the torch, but at least he knows that when he's ready to be done, then there will be people who grew up on his stuff and the people who are like almost like worthy of taking his helm.
Yeah.
It'll be like Tim Rice stepping in the shoes of Howard Ashman for Beauty and the Beast, but it'll be different.
Well, anyway. And like Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Uh-huh.
He grew up on Little Mermaid and loved it. And now he is getting to work with Alan Menken on new songs for live action movie.
I love that.
Like,
good
that's
for him.
So cool. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, Menken has quite a legacy, and it's just really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully what's next for him is Hercules was staged. Oh, hey. And he said it's poised for Broadway.
I hope so.
Yeah, we do hope so. The Disney shows going on Broadway is always an interesting thing because it's not the normal like normally for a show to go to Broadway, they need producers to get a theater and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. With Disney, they have their theaters and they only have a limited number of theaters. And so a lot of times for a new one to come in, an old one has to be kicked out.
Yeah.
So like, I wonder if that's partly why they've kicked Frozen out, that they're like, well, maybe we can make room for Hercules.
That's true. Or another one.
Yeah.
I know there's some new musicals in the works.
Yeah. And they well, and like, that's one of the reasons Beauty and the Beast closed when it did, because they were making room for Mary Poppins.
Yep. Yep.
Which I feel more peace about.
Yeah.
In a way. Mm-hmm. So I think that concludes our deep dive on Newsies and on Alan Menken.
All right.
What a man.
Oh my gosh. I at the beginning of all of this and the research that I did, I loved him for what he did. Like all of the shows that he did and just how he was the soundtrack to my childhood. But then after researching, it was just like I came to love him for who he was as a person. Especially that thing about like passing the torch to your own offspring.
That's so sweet.
Wept.
Yeah. I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
He sounds so caring.
I love him. Ugh. I love you. If you're listening to this, Megan, I adore you.
We're big fans.
I want to meet you and cry.
So we're going to transition into our How To Broadway Corner. What term are we teaching people today, Ashley?
Today we are teaching people, what does two doché mean? What like, if you heard that along the lines of Off Book and Thank You Five and The Apron of the Stage, what would you assume that that meant?
I mean, if I... Seeing it written, actually, I would have said two douché.
Okay.
But hearing it...
Two douché,
depending on how people spell it. I think it would take me a second. I mean, actually, no. The first time I saw it written, I was like, two douché. Oh, two show day.
Mm-hmm. It sounds almost like a dance move.
It does. You're right.
But
it sounds very French.
It does. Two douché. No, I'm not going to do that. Delete that. No, it means two show day, and I couldn't find where it originated, but I'm fairly certain it was before the Newsies cast. I know they talked about it a lot. They would say that. But yeah.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
Theater people, man. They're so weird. They have their own language.
Yes. Yeah, and you'll see it, like, hashtagged a lot, and it's, like, it's just one of those terms that's just, like, in the air.
Yeah.
But especially, and regional theaters, like all the regular non-Broadway people have picked it up too. So it basically just refers to like, usually on Saturdays you have a show, a matinee, and then you have an evening show. That's a two show day or two douché. And then on Broadway, a lot of times Wednesdays or Thursdays or sometimes both will be your two douché as well. And then those days are just different and a big deal because it takes a different kind of energy.
It does.
But also, cast bonding, really fun on days when you get to perform twice.
You just sit and eat pizza and play cards.
Yes.
That's what I did. So fun.
Oh my gosh. Or like, honestly, those were always my favorite days.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like really awkward if there was like a really early matinee, like if you have a morning matinee and then an evening show, because then it was like, well, we're not going to stay at the theater all day because there's a solid like 5 hours in between performances.
That's when you sleep on the stage and then you hook your phones up to the whatever, the speakers, and you do Broadway karaoke.
Oh my gosh.
That's
yes!
what you do.
I love that so much.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, you may have heard these terms on Broadway, but you may also have heard them in your local theater, because theater isn't just on Broadway, it's in your town.
Yes.
Sally, so, what theater are we highlighting today?
So today, one of our local theaters that I want to highlight is called Kenny Leon's True Colors Theater Company. Was I name dropping a current Tony nominee? Yes, I was. and he's
current
actually
Tony.
Yeah, current Tony nominee, and he is already a Tony Award winner as well. It's fine. I've interviewed him twice. It's whatever. But so they do a lot of great work, and at the moment they had a new season that they had announced, and I was really excited about it. But mm-hmm. I think they are still trying to figure out when exactly to revamp it. And so, but it's going to be the theme of it is exploring the joy and pain of being Black in America. That's their 2020/2021 season, as it was announced. But they haven't been able to roll that out yet, really. So the people from True Colors pop up in some random Atlanta streaming things, and they have a podcast, the True Colors Theater podcast. So if you want to see what's going on with them, definitely check them out. The theater's website is truecolorstheater.org, and they're on Instagram at True Colors Theater. So they're pretty great. Check them out. Give them some love. If they're doing something streaming, go ahead and pay some money to see it and support local theater.
Please. We are struggling.
Yes. So thanks for listening to today's episode of the Broadway Ginger Podcast. Don't forget to check out our show notes for some bonus content, some addendums. Some of these videos we've been mentioning will most definitely make it there. And if you've been enjoying our show, please make sure to subscribe, follow, and rate our show, but only if you're gonna give us a 5. Don't give us 1 star. Don't be that friend. But you could email us if you
you can tell us how,
if like you have spicy opinions, email us,
please. No, I want to hear all the spicy opinions.
Yes, actually, I mean, to be real, like, I love me a good theater conversation, even if we don't agree.
Right.
Hashtag this episode.
Exactly.
But you can email us thebroadwayginger@gmail.com, or you can visit our website, thebroadwayginger.com. And don't hesitate to reach out to us on social media. I am at the B-Way Ginger. And Ashley?
I'm on Instagram at AC Elliott with 2 L's and 2 T's 94, or Twitter at Inklings_press. If you have been in Newsies, please send me your videos, because I will fall in love with whatever version of you, high school, middle school, that was in that show.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Do I want to marry Jack Kelly? No. Do I want to marry Spot Conlon? Yes. I have a funny story to tell you about Spot Conlon afterwards.
Ashley Kelly would be such a cute name.
Like Kathleen Kelly.
Yes, exactly. So we'll see you next time for more theater and more jazz hands.
Oh,
bye.